and thanks for tuning in to Inside Scoop Live, the live audio program brought to you by ReaderViews.com. I'm your host, Juanita Watson, and today I'm talking with Dr. Paul Dennison, author of the new book, Brain Gym and Me, Reclaiming the Pleasure of Learning. So a little bit about this author before we start. Dr. Paul Dennison, along with partner and wife, Gail Dennison, created Educational Kinesiology in 1981 through their extensive research in areas that include education, brain function, psychology, and applied kinesiology. The Dennisons' visionary insight into the learning process led them to develop the unique approaches to education now known as Educate and Brain Gym, tools that integrate the mind and body through movement. Today, these techniques, which the Dennisons continue to develop, are taught in a variety of settings, including schools, corporations, and athletic training programs. The couple's contribution to the field of educational science are far-reaching and have served to transform the lives of learners around the planet. The Dennisons have co-authored a series of books and manuals on Educate, including the latest, Brain Gym and Me. And their enthusiasm for learning is so very apparent in their writings. Their books have been distributed through 80 countries and in 40 languages, with a total of over 415,000 copies sold. Together, Paul and Gail Dennison founded the Educational Kinesiology Foundation, a nonprofit public benefit corporation established to provide access to learning theories, experiential training, and instructor certification programs. Wow, that is incredible. I'm just so very happy to have Dr. Paul Dennison on the phone today to talk about his book. Welcome to Inside Scoop Live, Dr. Dennison.
Hello, Anita. It's great to be here with you.
Great.
And talk about the program.
Yes, yes, wonderful. So just to get your concepts explained right off the bat here, and then we will get to your book, would you tell listeners today what exactly is educational kinesiology and then what Brain Gym is?
Educational kinesiology is the study of movement in relation to learning, and education means to lead out or draw out, and we believe that the wisdom to learn is in the body, and kinesiology is the study of movement, and I've been experimenting with the relationship of movement with learning since 1975 at my learning centers, and we have developed what I call a science of learning. Medical science has been around for a long time, and there's a science of jurisprudence. There really hasn't been a science of education, and now we're finally realizing that movement is what creates the brain, that the brain is who we are as we move and live in the world. So there's a direct relationship between practice, doing things, and movement and learning. And people who use our program get phenomenal results.
That's incredible. So that's educational kinesiology. What exactly is Brain Gym?
We use the word Brain Gym for several things. One is that it's the 26 movements that we relate to our brain function to build neural pathways left to right, back to front, top to bottom, and really create a whole brain access. And we also have an education program called Brain Gym 101. Mm-hmm. That's a workshop where you can learn how to implement these movements and focus them on specific learning challenges.
So what are the range of issues or challenges that people use Brain Gym for?
Well, Brain Gym organizes the brain. Learning has been perceived as getting information, and you go to school and the smart kids are the ones that know a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's a competitive world, and you're learning how to prepare for the life, which is hard and difficult. And it's all upside down and backwards as far as we're concerned. We believe that learning is a natural thing and a joy, and that we all should, if we're all were really learning and functioning at our full potential, the world would be a better place.
Mm-hmm.
So we learn, we teach people how to focus, how to pay attention, how to be organized, mm-hmm. how to read and get the information. And it's related to the physical skills. And that's not as easy as it sounds. We have just found specific relationships of certain physical skills like tracking and head turning and actually how we move in space to activating the brain.
Okay. So how actually do the movements and the techniques of Brain Gym, what happens on a neurological level, like the real science of it? What's happening in the brain when someone is doing these basically quite simple, easy, and fun techniques?
Well, what's happening is we're getting what we call experience. And every time we get experience, we're laying down new neural pathways and so that we can do it again. So we have an experience, then the brain says to itself, I want to do this again, and we create a pattern or code that is laid down neurologically. And all of us who have been around children know that they do something, they start to walk, they fall down, they get up and they do it again, and they want to do it again, and they practice. Sometimes they do things over and over again, and we wish they wouldn't, but
mm-hmm.
What they're doing is laying down neural pathways until they have it, until they've got it, and it's integrated into their functioning self. And from that, they can go on and explore and do something new, like ride a bicycle,
mm-hmm.
and get their balance. So all learning is built upon physical experience.
Upon movement. That's just
right.
Incredible. I don't think a lot of people have even, you know, laid any thought to that whatsoever. So, I mean, that is
yeah.
quite revolutionary when it comes to education, learning, reading. I mean, the potential for this kind of, I don't want to really call it a therapy, but these kind of techniques are very far-reaching.
Imagine how I felt in 1981 when they said learning has nothing to do with movement.
Yeah.
Learning is all in the brain, and it's all about mental exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Now we know that the brain and body are one. There's no separation. It's all one system. Every time we move, there's something happening in the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And the brain is not just a top-down to direct the body creates the brain.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So now we have neuroscience behind us stepping out and speaking this loud and clear. It's time to pay attention.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, so let's get to your book, Brain Gym and Me. What is this book all about? I know you've written several books to this point on the educational kinesiology and Brain Gym. What are you going for in this book?
Well, my other books are related to my workshops and people who want to learn how to do the movements. And the people write in every day the miracles they get either from learning or recovery from injuries. So they're very effective movements because when these neural pathways lay down, people can do what they thought they couldn't do. This book, Brain Gym and Me, my intention is to write a readable book that people can relate to about how they can have an amazing life by including movement in their daily activities, just like they brush their teeth. And these are very safe, simple movements. When people do them, they suddenly realize that they have more access to their true potential.
So you're actually listing all of the Brain Gym techniques in this book?
And so the most of them are in there.
Okay.
There are, I think there's 21 out of 26.
Okay.
And they're in there as a to experience. We show you how to do them in the book, but we also use them in case studies. So you read stories of people of actually using them to create shifts in their life.
Okay. So
whether it's sports or personal relationships or academic goals or in the office.
Well, that's an amazing point right there, because I think a lot of people, when they maybe first listen to this, look at the book, they may just be thinking this is, you know, to improve cognitive skills or, you know, if you have some sort of learning disability, but you're saying that it can actually improve sports ability.
Mm-hmm.
It will make changes in people's relationships, how they relate with one another. Would you talk a little bit towards the wide potential of Brain Gym and how that actually, like, how would it help someone in sports, and how would it change people's relationships?
Well, we have ways of doing things that we've always done, and that's the way we've always done it. And most of these are around survival, so we've learned how to compensate.
Okay.
And the human being is, over centuries, has survived because we can compensate and dig in there and figure out how to do it. And we have two hands, so one hand can't do it, the other one can take over. But these are all trying or overcoming approaches, but they work, so we keep doing it that way. Same thing in our relationships. Even when we know we shouldn't say certain things or do certain things, when the script comes along, we do it the same way we always did. In using the Brain Gym techniques, you can integrate and do things in a more effective manner. Once you've discovered how to do it in the more effective manner, that becomes the pattern that you will fall back on, not the survival one. So we basically, in our sessions, in our classes, wherever it's used, people learn that there's an easier way, that they're really doing it the hard way, and you can be very successful the hard way, but people end up with hypertension and autoimmune disorders and illnesses because they've been hitting their head against the wall, just doing it the way that they always did. Mm. We want people to discover that easy, joyful pleasure of living and learning.
Mm-hmm. Wow, the transformative nature of this is incredible. Now, Dr. Dennison, I know that your own life story contributed to the work that you do today, and you do talk about that in your book, in Brain Gym and Me. And I'd like you just to give a little overview for our audience today about the challenges that you had as a child and how that really influenced the work that you do, the effect that your experience has had on your life today.
Yeah, I have some autobiographical material because people just love to hear me talk about myself.
Sure.
And my story, because I want to know what made me tick.
Sure.
But I didn't learn like all the other kids. I was in a very excellent school system in Massachusetts, and my mother moved there so I could get a good education. Instead, I failed fourth grade, and the teacher shook me and said, "Why can't you learn?" And it was very humiliating. I had to change, go to another school, be held back. And I was left-handed and all left-sided, and I just learned at a different pace than everyone else. Fortunately, I did learn how to learn in the compensating way and pushed through and made it. They said I would never go to college, but I got a PhD and called them all up, and the ones I could find said, see? But but what happened is I was became a school teacher and became interested in reading, and I realized that people had a lot of theories about reading, but they really didn't know much about it. I had a learning centers and could experiment and see what really worked, even as I went to college got my doctorate and learning that movement had nothing to do with learning.
Mm.
I knew that it did.
Yes.
And so when learning centers would check people for whether they were left-handed or left eye dominant, I said, what do you do with that information? I said, they write it down on the chart. In other words, they didn't see any separate or different way of approaching that child.
And that was it.
Because of that brain organization.
Mm.
So I was fascinated with that, and I discovered that it all had to do with movement. The left eye dominant, you want to go from right to left and not left to right.
Mm.
And when you're left-handed, you want to write from right to left, not left to right. And this helped me to study integration and why it was so important to have access to both eyes, both hands, both sides of the brain, and that most people learn on a one-sided way. When I say compensate, they're only using part of their brain, not the whole brain. And it is absolutely fully effective. I had a boy in my office 2 days ago. He thought he had to read slowly to understand. He was skeptical. No one's going to be able to change how I go about it. And he was a lot like me, methodical and very, very careful, and made sure that he fully got it by going slowly. I did about a half-hour exercises with him and reorganized how he moved and how he walked and moved his eyes and moved his hands. He picked up the book and read three times faster, said, I can't believe it. My eyes are just flying across the words, and I even know what it's going to say before I get to it because I can predict. I'm thinking while I'm reading.
Wow.
And people just don't know what kids go through to be successful and what the potential, how it really should be.
Yes.
You know, so.
Yeah, that is.
That's my passion. So.
That is just, you must just see some amazing changes in people so quickly. How quick do you typically see results when you start the techniques, the Brain Gym techniques?
So the people start doing the Brain Gym techniques, they start seeing like a grade level every 3 months. We start seeing improvements like this boy immediately, the physical improvements.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden they can think and read. They don't have to point with their finger and go slowly and hesitate. When you look at what the eyes do when you read slowly, you're fixating many, many more times on the words than you need to. The idea is to have your eyes move across and pick up much information with each fixation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens. And what I'm saying is the improvement starts immediately and success builds upon success.
Okay.
And some kids respond faster than others. Some people's home life and the personal life needs work.
Mm-hmm.
Many people, we work with the whole family. If it's the child's thing, there's probably something going on with how the parents think about themselves and how they learn. So the more we can get everyone doing this, the better.
Oh.
It's not a therapy or a fix-it thing. It's something that everyone should be doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, we definitely all have room to improve, that's for sure. So how is Brain Gym presently being used in schools and education programs? And do you think that, I mean, what potential do you think Brain Gym has for use in schools in the present day system?
So Brain Gym is used in thousands of schools across the country and all over the world, as you said. We have people doing it in 80 countries, and our books are translated all over in over 40 languages.
Mm-hmm.
And every monthly I get a new request, Korean, and recently in Indonesia. So it's there are people doing brain gym who never even heard of the denizens, or even though they're doing brain gym.
So is it teachers that are buying the books and in implementing the techniques in school, or is it parents requesting it? How is it being used?
Well, it's been a grassroots thing, so teachers find out about it and use it in their classroom and get permission. Parents have their kids do it and ask the teachers why they're not doing it, and then they find out about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's being used in different ways. One is you just do the brain gym movements and things improve. Mm-hmm. Other thing is to have kids, when they're reading, the teacher notices they need more organization or more word attack skills or more comprehension, and they go do the movements that relate to those things.
Mm-hmm.
We have movements that relate to comprehension, movements related to the mechanics of knowing the words and writing them and spelling them and forming the letters. So it can be a do what you need approach. And then with families, we have people do them in the morning, noon and night. We have movements to help relax and remove the stress. You can't learn when you're under stress.
Mm-hmm.
Most kids, people are under stress. So that's why they can't remember things. They have memory blocks through certain movements, and you all of a sudden you remember what you couldn't remember because
mm-hmm.
you got the you start breathing and slowing down instead of speeding up to be in fight or flight.
Mm.
So it's a stress reduction, brain organization program, and we have movements that relate to specific things. Most people do, out of the 26, do a routine of about 10 daily, and then they switch around. Some people love to do them all and wouldn't think of not doing every single one every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so teachers do it that way. Some have kids pull a movement out of a hat and a box and teach that movement, and they talk about a move in a day like that.
Oh, that's
so they kind of integrate it into the program.
Mm-hmm. It must be so much fun for the kids, too.
Well, the kids see the results. And at first, they might moan and groan, do we have to do this stuff?
Yeah. Right.
And within a couple of weeks, if the teacher forgets, they say, we forgot to do our brain gym.
Oh, is that right?
Because they know they need it.
Mm-hmm.
One little girl was taking an exam, and she had a memory block. She went up to the proctor, who was the principal. She said, I need to do a brain gym. The principal said, we're not going to give you any extra time. She said, that's okay. She went out in the hall, did a couple of minutes of her movements, came back in, and finished first. And got an amazing score. So the principal was convinced after that.
Absolutely. Well, if the kids are asking for it, I mean, you know it must be fun, and they are definitely seeing results. And that just, you know, it's reflected in the title of your book, Reclaiming mm-hmm. the Pleasure of Learning. So I just love that. Well, you know, it makes me wonder if brain gym can also be applied to retraining the brain when it comes to bad habits such as smoking, you know, eating issues, or, you know, even something like nervous tendencies like biting nails. Have you done any research in those areas?
Yeah, we balance people for those things, and we get good results, because if you really want to know what the point of brain gym and the brain gym 101 course is, to get people aware. No, the latest part of the brain that's a lot of research is being done on is the prefrontal cortex.
Mm.
This is the front 30% of the brain where we are self-aware.
Mm.
So this is where we are as human beings. All the rest of it is all automatic programming. They say we're unconscious all night. then we wake up and we're unconscious all day. So they were doing our automatic habits.
Mm-hmm.
And so vital agile learners are the ones, people who are in charge of the life, who know what they're doing and aware. So the more conscious and aware we become of our habits, and we do them on purpose, we can let go of them. So we do them instead of them happening from our unconscious back of the brain, we do them on purpose. We suddenly realize we don't want to do this anymore.
Okay.
And we can let go of the smoking or bad habits or chewing your nails or chewing gum or any of the learning things that we've talked about that are bad habits that we've always done it that way. So.
That is just fascinating. One more thing about the education system and with children that I really want to get in before we finish up here. ADD and ADHD, you know, these are such big issues of the day. What have you found the effects of Brain Gym on these challenges?
So these things are called attention deficit disorder, and these are just labels that say that kids are not focusing on what we want them to focus on and don't seem to be ready to be in the classroom.
Right.
But they are focusing on something, and what they are is focusing on survival, on they're hyper aware of their environment. They have super hearing, super vision, very sensitive to touch, and they're really in a more infant level of brain development. With the Brain Gym movements, they very quickly can learn how to tune out these distractions and tune in. First, they become more safe in their bodies through the Brain Gym movements, and they feel comfortable. Then they start relating to other children and the teacher and being more social, and then they can start using the higher order cognitive skills. They need to do, they're not going to do it the 10 or 20 minutes. Some need to do Brain Gym longer than that to get safe and comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And but the ones that spend the time with the kids and do the movements together with them, they get phenomenal results. I've had kids in here that never sat still, and even inside of the first session, they're already sitting and looking at books and looking at pictures, and the parents are amazed, and it just improves from there.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to make a shift, so you stop comparing these kids with other kids.
Yes.
And being present with them and seeing where they are and what they're telling you they need and being there for them with their needs and using the Brain Gym. And what's the point of doing something, having a lesson on science when the kid can't even sit in the room?
No kidding.
But the teachers have the curriculum they're supposed to cover, but they have to do it in a way and realize the best thing I can do for this child is get him safe and comfortable in his body.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe we can do something else later.
Mm-hmm.
So teachers who realize that, special need educators are getting the results. And before you're doing education with special needs, we want to remind everyone you should just consult with your medical doctor and make sure that the movements are appropriate for the levels that the kids are.
Sure. You have to meet them where they're at.
Yeah, you've got to go slowly with them. You're not going to suddenly do all the movements with them. So.
Right. That's just fascinating. So, Dr. Dennison, how can readers find out more about you and your book, Brain Gym? Do you have a website?
Yeah, so we have a website, www.braingym.com. That's braingym.com. If you want to learn more about our workshops, courses around the world, and a instructor near you, there's World Wide Web, braingym.org.
Oh, okay.
O-R-G.
Okay.
And if you'd like to have a interview with me or to have me speak, contact Diana Ennen, my publicist. She's diana@virtualwordpublishing.com.
Okay. All right. And people can buy your book, Brain Gym and Me, at through your website?
Yes.
As well as local and online booksellers?
Yeah, in the United States, it's 805-650-3303 is our phone number of my Educant Aesthetics Incorporated bookstore.
Okay, great. So I have another question for you just as we're wrapping up here. With your work in this field for over 30 years, do you think you've seen it all at this point, or are there things that are continuing to surprise you when it comes to the brain learning and the educational kinesiology and brain gym techniques?
Well, people keep taking them into other areas. So we have Brain Gym for Business and Brain Gym for sports and musicians.
Okay.
That do them, music teachers. Get the kids interested in Brain Gym. They might feel guilty. They spent a whole music lesson and didn't play the piano. But when the kids
music.
Do the Brain Gym, the next time the kids are coming back and they're playing music, not notes.
Oh.
It just brings everything together. Many musicians get so technical about their work, they aren't enjoying it anymore, and then they rediscover the pleasure of music.
Mm.
Same with, we have a fantastic course called Double Doodle Play, where my wife, I really think this course should be in every single school, church, and anywhere where people meet. They draw with both hands, and they discover the power and beauty of art and the hidden artists they didn't know they have. So we have double doodle bilateral drawing art, and it is amazing. I think kids, again, try too hard and want to do the type of art that is kind of a replica of what the teacher does instead of the creativity that's inside each and every person. So.
Wonderful. That's incredible. So we are actually coming to an end here. Time has just flown by. Do you have any final thoughts that you want to share with your listeners today, Dr. Dennison? I know that you and your wife, Gail, are going to be speaking at a Brain Gym International gathering coming up here in August, if you wanted to mention that, or anything else about Brain Gym.
Yes. So every year, instructors from teachers of Brain Gym from around the world get together. Last year we had it in Brisbane, Australia. This year it's in Ottawa, Canada. Anyone in Canada who's interested in joining us there, they could. This is going to be Brain Gym workshops in many areas. They can find out about that on worldwideweb.braingym.org.
Okay.
And that's in the first 2 weeks of August, and there are workshops and courses. People can get started or read the books, and like all cookbooks that sit on the shelf, you don't eat much, you have to do it.
Yes.
So Brain Gym, hardest part is how easy it is. Just do it and see your life change.
Wonderful final thoughts. Thanks so much for talking with us today, Dr. Dennison. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you, Juanita.
All right. All right, listeners, as mentioned, you can find Brain Gym and Me at www.braingym.com, as well as all sorts of information on Brain Gym workshops, all of that about Dr. Dennison and his work. I hope you've enjoyed our interview today. I certainly have. The potential for this. These techniques are just incredible, and I hope you do look into Brain Gym and Me and Dr. Dennison's work. Once again, thanks for listening to Inside Scoop Live. I'm Juanita Watson, and until next time.